your glue.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Last update on the left.
I thought my belly was going away, and then I ate a sandwich and it came back.
What do you mean?
I was doing the workout. I thought my little belly was going away.
It goes in and out.
And then I ate a sandwich and it came back out again.
That's how you tell you're really thin.
Yeah. That means you're like a boa constrictor. Yeah. You know, if I can see the outline of the recent lunch that you've had.
B.O.T.?
Oh. You got it!
Incredible. I can see the ruffles of the lettuce.
Am I talking about my belly going to be the start of this episode of Last Update on the Left?
I think it has to be.
It has to be. Welcome. My name's Marcus Parks.
It's me, Henry Zebrowski, and wow, we're back here again.
Yeah, I'm Ed Larson, and the update is Marcus now has a stomach.
It's the best thing to happen to the show. I like him a little. I like you. I like it comfortable.
I am comfortable. I had a bagel. And then I had a sandwich, and now I got a belly, because I'm a little skinny man.
Yeah. Well, guess what, man? If I have one sip of yeast, my body expands. But we're not just talking about our bodies expanding.
No.
We're talking about the ever-expanding coverage of the Skinwalkers.
Now, my first question is, aren't we all skinwalkers? Because we have skin and we walk?
No, but it definitely...
Couldn't they think of like a scarier actual term than something that we all do and have?
It should be the SW word because it's actually an old-timey ghost racist term for humans.
Oh, ghosts say it to us.
Yes, it is an old term.
Well, they think they're fucking better than us.
Yes, they do. Because they know where aliens live.
This fucking abandoned house was great before all these goddamn skinwalkers moved in.
Grandpa, hey, I know I only died of COVID and I'm 9 years old. But hey, listen, you got to keep up with the times, Grandpa.
Shower.
Well, the reason why they're called skinwalkers is that skinwalker comes from the old Native American legend. Oh. And I think skinwalker is like the literal translation for, and I might be talking out of my ass here.
I'm just thinking it's
like the literal translation of what the Uinta Basin people, I can't remember exactly what tribe it was.
I'll catch you up right now. The Skinwalker Ranch, just remember it was a family lived on Skinwalker Ranch. They would go ahead and experience, and it was a 500-acre farm in the middle of Uinta Basin, Utah. This area of the world is known for its UFOs. When we covered this not that long ago.
It was like 6 years ago, dude.
Jesus Christ. It is long. But if you go through all of the stuff, like, this area has years and years and years of various UFO experiences that have built up over time. And this one phenomena called the Skinwalker phenomena. So at the time, I forget the name of the tribes that you lived around the Uinta Basin. But
it starts with an I. I do know that they did have a war with Mormons that was quite bloody.
It was really brutal.
Yeah.
But they
good for them.
They wouldn't go into this area, this canyon.
They actually won.
Good.
They would not go into this canyon because they legitimately thought it was creepy. And a part of what they did was they called the Trail of the Skinwalker, said went through this area. Now, skinwalkers are shamans, magical people that instead of taking their magical responsibility to their community and using it responsibly and in a positive way, they normally what they do is the final taboo, which is what Armin Maiva says. We talk about him all the time. The final taboo, which is cannibalism. And what they do is they do some form of evil cannibalistic ritual where they give up their own humanity in order to be able to change form into various animals to do nefarious shit. Essentially, it's to kill or to steal and then not be recognized. It's to leave. But it comes with a host of other negative associations and bad juju powers.
Okay. Yeah.
So they turn into like dire wolves and stuff like that.
And oversized wolves is a thing that does come up quite a bit at Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
It's a Ute Indian tribe.
The Ute?
Yeah. That's their name.
The two Utes?
The two Utes. He's talking about this. But it came from a thing. But this has now been researched up and down. It is called the most researched 500-acre plot of land in the world. They've had several different gigantic paranormal / not paranormal studies done in the area to kind of see where all of these various stories come from and if they are true or not.
When will they stop?
They won't, because they are making too much money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's still so much to be learned out there. Like, I really feel like with Skinwalker Ranch, like, we went through it on our episode, like, how many strange events happened there. Like, there was Bingo the Everything Dog?
Yeah, there was a weird-ass dog that did change into several different shapes. It was owned by the Sherman family.
Yeah.
And they saw UFOs, very similar to Nope. Like, there was a lot of stuff in Nope that was straight imagery that was taken from Skinwalker Ranch that I thought was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go more into Skinwalker territory, but it didn't. But I still love Nope.
Yeah, Nope's incredible.
But the idea of, like, clouds that stay still in the sky.
Yeah.
One thing that's also really weird about Skinwalker Ranch is portals, saying things that are opening up in the sky. They say that they literally saw, like, buttholes gape in the sky, and then ships would come in and out of the buttholes. There was also giant wolves, dire wolves.
Poltergeist activity. Yeah, it was like there would be cows that would suddenly, like basically teleportation, where cows would suddenly be crammed into a trailer and nobody would know like
now, how, is they, this got how there. They got mutilated.
That was super fucking weird. And there's been multiple cattle mutilations, which is also one of the top phenomena on Skinwalker Ranch.
And there's been cattle mutilations described in Skinwalker Ranch going back as far as the 30s.
Okay. Yes.
Now, what's the CTV situation on Skinwalker Ranch?
Constant.
It is filmed all over the place, but one of also the weird phenomena is the thing cuts the cords to the cameras. They find cords missing, pulled out of the back of cameras, stuff that's like suspicious, like truly, truly suspicious. And I listened to George Knapp and Colm Kelleher recently. They wrote the original book on this subject called Hunt for the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
Now, this is Hunt for the Skinwalker. Which has been around now for a minute. It was in 2005. And
I just watched that doc.
And I love that. You know, I love them.
Yes.
You know, I love them. And so the Sherman family, they were so freaked out by this that they didn't want to be there anymore. And they saw a lot of fucked up shit. Like, one thing was that, like, a giant wolf approached the father that was, like, approached Terry Sherman, and he shot at it, and it didn't die. It ran away. And a lot of other weird stuff. And so they finally got sick of it, so they sold it to the man who runs the Extended Stay Universe. Instead of the extended universe of the extended stay hotels. It's Robert Bigelow.
Yeah.
Who's trying to create space hotels.
Okay.
That's his main thing. He's a huge, huge.
Well, if there's portals to space, it's a great place to start.
He owns a lot of rental property.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he is a weird slash Republican donor, but also a very, very curious man who spent a lot of his millions of his billions researching this phenomena. So he bought the ranch and then he put this group on it called NIDS. That was a thing that he put together. And
what does NIDS stand for again?
The National Institute for Discovery Science. And they did a very, very serious research program there for, I want to say, it was something like 20 years they were there. And Robert Bigelow, for forever, jealously held the data that he had control of for all of these years.
He let out a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Keep the interest in the project going.
Well, also because he gave money, but also Senator Harry Reid also helped get a lot of government money applied to this area as well. Eventually, the United States government arrived and said, so what are we getting out of this? And they're all like, oh, the phenomena is very interesting. And they're like, we're done here. And so they cut him off.
Yeah, because, I mean, they, as you said earlier, like, they kind of created, like, an X-Files underneath everyone's noses, but just relegated to one 500-acre ranch in Utah.
Yes.
And they gave them $22 million, correct?
They did have $22 million to work on the project.
And they found nothing.
Well, we
nothing
don't know.
Conclusive.
Nothing conclusive. Yeah.
Well, nothing that we necessarily know about. You have the witness testimony, which is, this is from the original research.
There's lots of witness testimony.
There's a lot of witnesses.
That's most of the evidence.
And a lot of what they discovered, which I do think is interesting, part of what came out, one of the weird, fun, shady things that came out after the fact, a lot of the guys that were hired security, they essentially were used as barometers for the effects of the ranch, whether they knew it or not.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times it found out that the call was coming from inside the house is that the measurements that they were using were coming from the humans that were there and their reactions to the phenomenon.
Well, who else is going to know?
Well, that's
it has to be the people that are there.
But yeah, but you have to tell them, hey, that's why you're here. And they weren't telling these guys, hey, this is why you're here. I mean, it's the same type of shit that the government has been doing for years upon years, where, you know, like the time they dumped a whole bunch of like fake poison to the water supply, or they did a, what was the mist in San Francisco?
To see how far an aerosolized, whatever the term is,
basically
a virus, see how a biological agent could possibly move along a coastline.
Yeah.
They just sprayed us all, like just willy-nilly, with essentially a quote-unquote harmless bacteria to see what it would do.
Zygote 16?
Yeah. Something like
that. It was basically to see if an aerosolized anthrax attack would work, and they found out that it did, but they also killed two people doing it.
Yeah, it's bad. They had a bad reaction to the test shit.
But yeah, this type of stuff happens quite often. They also did it in Edgewood, which we're going to be doing an update very soon about Edgewood.
Yeah, I'm excited for Edgewood.
Now, I'm not as skeptical because we talked to George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell.
Right.
And I'm not as skeptical as much, but I just don't get it. I don't feel like there's that much actual evidence.
Well, it's because it's more examining how difficult it is to know how to capture the evidence.
That might actually be a good way of putting it, is that it's a study on how to study this stuff. You know, like it's an experiment on how to experiment, because they're trying to figure, because that's one of the things that paranormal activity or paranormal research has really struggled with over the years, is how do we quantify this stuff?
Yes.
How do we measure this
because
stuff?
Because guess what? You can't get it unless you can quantify the stuff. Government funding for your research programs.
Yeah, nor can you get any academic institution to take you seriously unless you have some sort of quantifier, if you have some way of classifying. And I think Skinwalker Ranch, that's a big part of what they're trying to do.
I feel like this $22 million, in my opinion, was just like, shut up money. You know, like, this is not real money to invest in a fucking, like, a true investigation,
well,
in my
because
opinion.
The other
you
half-
can't even make, like, a romantic comedy for $22
million. It's true.
Absolutely correct.
In terms of the government scale, well, it's because Robert Bigelow was also self-funding.
Yeah.
So one half was coming from the government, and the rest was coming from the never-ending cash flow of Robert Bigelow until he finally offloaded the ranch. And when he offloaded the ranch, it was kind of when we stopped covering. It was 2016, and then the book had come out. We did Hunt for the Skinwalker, and at that point, we had covered, when we did our episodes, we talked about all the various stories that happened on the ranch, and we talked about how we knew that, because it came from Hunt for the Skinwalker, and, which I do find one of my favorite things now after, one thing I learned was that George Knapp originally was not super pleased that we had done a show using his book, because he was like, he had heard these group of jokers were talking about his fucking, that's his babe. That was one of his babies.
Yeah.
Like, George Knapp is truly one of the most, in the end, I think will be named one of the most important men in ufology because of his singular dedication to the proper investigation of these, bringing an air of legitimacy to the investigations of all of this type of
phenomena. And not backing down. And like,
ever.
You know, because he knows that it like makes him look crazy and he doesn't give a shit.
But guess what? He's hardcore and he still won awards. He still does crime reporting. He still does all his other investigative journalism.
I feel like you have to make yourself legitimate enough to get funding for this.
He went after mobsters. He did stuff on the Las Vegas mayor that went to jail. Like, he's done a lot of shit. Like, I love George Knapp, unironically. And so when I found out that he was angry, we're all like, oh, no.
Oh, God, what are we going to do? Until he listened.
And then he listened and he said, oh, you guys did some of the work. We're like, we're trying, Mr. Knapp. We're trying.
He said that we went a different way with it.
Yeah, added stuff.
He appreciated it. And so you guys got to talk to him at a contact in the desert and, you know, got to have a great conversation with him.
He was very cool.
But the thing about him is that the more I hear him talk, the more I at least buy that what he brought to the table was extremely honest. And he believes, because like there's a lot of talk about Robert Bigelow trashing the records of what happened during the NIDS investigation of the Hunt for the Skinwalker, during that Hunt for the Skinwalker time period. And George Knapp, like, many times has said, we, in our book writing, that is the record. That is what Bigelow had. What Bigelow probably has that none of us have seen is probably a couple of choice pictures, which is, again, what we've learned is these guys either don't have them or they use that as a cudgel against many people to be like, you can't get it. But the word is,
wouldn't that get you funding?
I don't know. I actually don't know anymore, because if he goes out, because this is what, now this is an interesting phenomenon that we're at now in the post informational world, is that if, let's say, you have a great picture of a UFO, mm-hmm. and you do have one, and you are this guy, Robert Bigelow, vaguely shady, but, you know, yeah. technically a hotelier.
Could be anything. If you have a, you might have a picture of Bonko the Everything Dog. If you might have a picture of a massive wolf. You might have a picture. Something that will make the world stand up and say, whoa.
So one of the worst things that you could do is release that. Have everyone come out and be like, oh, my God. Have it earth chatter, right? Like, let's have it's like, oh, my God, this crazy picture. And then let's say somebody does a hit job on it. Like, I just got out of there. Like, just as a total nightmare scenario. Someone does a hit job on the photo, does everything possible to try to show that it's debunked. Now, you've given this guy a bunch of money on his the back of this incredible release of information. The information is now debunked. You now got to get the money back from this asshole. You got to do all this stuff. So no one wants to do it. No one wants to finally put that last piece out, because what if then my last piece, everybody fucking doesn't even believe it.
And, of course that's going to happen.
Oh, yes.
And it's not only that, but by saying, I have this photo, I have this last piece, people will still pay attention to you. People will still give you, people will still invite you to things. People will still do interviews with you. But if you give everything that you got, then it's like, okay, well, we got everything we got from that guy. Don't have to talk to him anymore.
But when we recovered Skinwalker Ranch, like, at the time, too, it was still very mysterious. It was a mysterious place. And a lot
The TV show had not happened yet. Yeah. It had not become a part of, like, you know, the zeitgeist as it sort of is now, where basically everyone knows what Skinwalker Ranch is now. Back when we covered it, it was still very under the radar mysterious.
Can we go?
No.
Nah. I don't want to go.
I know you're not wanting to go, but, like, are we allowed to go?
I think that you can take tours, but you have to know somebody.
By invitation.
Yes, you have to know somebody. I got some flirts going on.
Oh, nice.
Just a couple of old men.
Okay.
That's my favorite. Because I can give them something they don't got no more.
Certainly
man.
Not a bunch of attractive young ladies.
No, it's never. Yeah, it's never weird, right? Yeah. It's never a girl named Valentina who's also an Instagram model. Like, it's never her. It's always Blurk. You know, like, it's always some guy like, I teach you know about rocks. Like, oh, great. Sometimes it's scary.
Robbie Williams.
Love Robbie Williams.
But no, I don't want to go to Skinwalker Ranch. But the reason why I don't want to go to Skinwalker Ranch is because of something that we discovered after covering the ranch on the main feed is the hitchhiker effect. Now, I am terrified of this.
Hitchhiking ghosts.
Hitchhiking ghosts, like your favorite.
Yeah.
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
But it's not like that.
It seems like it.
No. No. Do those hitchhiking ghosts give you autoimmune diseases? Unless you're fucking them without a condom? I don't know. I don't know.
Rise from your grave.
All right. We covered it back in the day. We'll kind of go a little bit more about what has expanded since then. Mm-hmm. Since then, George Knapp wrote a book with two sexy guys named James Lakatsky and Colm Kelleher. Now, James Lakatsky is a former intelligence officer, defense guy that was so spooked by what happened to him after he went to Skinwalker Ranch that he decided it was enough for him to tell these guys what he knew, because he was like, he basically was like, I want to go see it. And he went with Colm Kelleher and George Knapp and scared the living fuck out of him. And then it weirdly also semi-ruined his life after the fact. And so they wrote Skinwalkers at the Pentagon. And I'm just going to tell you now, you should go buy it and read it. And it is not like, it's not Game of Thrones.
Sure.
You know, but it is a really interesting investigation into how to talk to these guys about something none of them want to talk to. And one of the main components that came out was really breaking down what the New York Times got wrong in December 2017 when it named ATIP. It named a couple of these inner groups and they were wrong.
The 2017 article is when it was the first time in modern history that a major publication has given UFOs or UAPs, as it were, the time of day.
Yes, but they were incorrect. They're following the money of where the actual, because Lou Elizondo sort of put himself, Lou Elizondo was the man that released, helped leak this UFO material to the New York Times in December of 2017. He worked for a thing called ATIP, which was this inner group within the, I believe it's the aeronautical threat.
Not Aryan.
No, not anymore. ATIP is
part of the Pentagon, at the very least, right?
Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Okay. Now, what they were supposed to do was look at things in the sky, figure out whether or not they were weirdly anomalous, figure out whether or not they were trying to hurt us, and whether or not we could do whatever that they were doing and turn it into weaponry for us. Now, Lou Elizondo came out and said, oh, I'm the leader of this group. We now kind of know that that's probably not the case. He's probably was a guy somewhere within it who but has now done since a lot of good work trying to get this stuff out that we can see, so that we can see some of it. Because the main contention is, all right, we don't know what it is. The government doesn't know what it is, but it's not hurting us yet. And that's what they're really afraid of. But still, like, why can't we know about it? Turns out it's actually a lot more complicated than that. So ATIP, what this book then talks about, has how ATIP was moved into a thing called AWSAP, which is, you like this? Do you like this, Marcus? Yeah, this is like being married to me. This is it. This is our life.
Hey, man, I gave this one over to... Well, I didn't actually give this one over to you. You just sort of took it.
I have just sort of kidnapped it.
Yeah, because I tried taking... Like, I tried...
Do you want it back? Do you want this back?
No, please, continue.
So the Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Applications Program... No, now we're locked in.
I'm letting you finish this thought.
Yes, absolutely. But what we're really seeing is, so I'm just kind of the main points of the book. The Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications Program is the next version of this. That is actually what got the $22 million. That is the thing that was all like, and that was one thing that the investigative book proved was like, it followed the money and it kind of untangled a bunch of stuff that the New York Times accidentally tangled up for a lot of people. Because immediately people went looking for ATIP. They couldn't find it. They found a thing called AWSAP. They thought that like, oh, this is all disinformation, but they showed these are the technically very tedious differences.
Yeah.
Now, between these organizations.
Who is BAS?
Bass. Bigelow Aerospace Studies. That's Robert Bigelow's personal aerospace technology company.
Okay.
That's his guy, right? So, and the other thing that the new book comes out is explains this concept of the hitchhiker phenomena and really why, truly at the core of our U.S. government's hesitancy to research any of this stuff. And it's because of the religious angle and because of this hitchhiker effect.
Yeah, well, basically what the hitchhiker effect is that most people who go to Skinwalker Ranch, and in some cases, like some pools of questioning, every single person that they questioned after they went to Skinwalker Ranch brought something home with them. And what that something is, no one really knows. All they know is that it is paranormal activity that manifests itself in many different ways. Some people, it manifests itself in disembodied voices. Some people, it manifests as moving objects, like poltergeist activity. Other people, they see blue orbs that will just suddenly appear in their house. And one person had a blue orb. He said it moved through him, and very soon after, he developed a very aggressive form of cancer and died. But did he die?
What?
I'm not sure if he died, but I do know the guy who the blue orb went through.
No, he did not die, but he got sick.
But he got a very aggressive form of cancer. And some people even see shadow monsters. Mm-hmm. Not monsters, but, you know, shadow people.
It's the most dangerous form of ghosts. Did you know that?
That's what I hear.
According to Ed Warren.
the shadow monster.
Yes, the most dangerous form of ghost.
And in fact, the biggest thing, though, is that these, you know, hitchhikers and, you know, these people that, you know, this phenomenon that makes people sick. Robert Bigelow, it's speculated that the reason why he sold Skinwalker Ranch is because he believed that Skinwalker Ranch, one of these hitchhikers, he believes it killed his wife. Because she died of a very aggressive form of leukemia very quickly.
Did she die on the ranch?
No.
But anyone died on the ranch?
We don't know.
Well, yeah, but actually, it's a better answer is we don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Because it was an Indian burial ground.
I mean, the whole Indian burial ground thing is, if I may say, a bit of a racist idea. That was put forth. Like, that's when we'll talk about it, you know, a little bit when we do our Amityville update. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of the Indian burial ground that was sort of created around the time of Amityville, like out of some other like piece of media that well, they were trying to connect afterwards.
Because they had mounds in Amityville. That's the reason why they try to attach it to the, well, it to was the even, Native American burial grounds. And even that was fine. It was matter.
Even dumber than that. Yes. But like the Shitticook tribe came out and said, like, we don't do that.
We
like,
weren't there.
Yeah. he said, like, why would our spirits come? Like, he's like, why would our spirits come back and haunt you? Our spirit, we don't believe in that sort of thing. That's not what we're about. You know, just to say, like, you know, and then, you know, buried on an Indian burial ground became just kind of a term. Like, it became a joke.
Why would
the year.
It is a racist thought to think that their graveyards are more haunted than ours?
Extra scary.
Yeah, they're
old school.
Yeah, that goes back. Like, they're more evil. It goes back to the old, like, whole like savage idea of like they're more evil than we are. They're more savage than we are. Therefore, like, we can, you know, their ghosts are going to be meaner.
Yeah,
but of course, you know, poltergeists. Those ghosts would say, "Yeah, but you move the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies." Those are just plain old white folk.
And we do that all the time. It happens way more than you think it does.
I got no problem with it.
Maybe
I think cemeteries are a waste of space.
We've talked about this. I believe that. But truly, it's interesting. Because what also the Skinwalkers at the Pentagon really elucidates is kind of what we're coming up against. One thing that was interesting that I learned was that there was a period of time where Robert Bigelow's Bass, whatever the offices were, whatever you'd call that, they were supposedly, and you can take this with a fucking mountain of salt, they were told at some point during their contract, prepare for a shipment of this, what they called exotic materials. So there's a period of time where apparently they were preparing to move something that they had inside of some hangar somewhere that they didn't know what it was, and they were about to give it to Robert Bigelow for him to research, and then it just never happened. And then it seems, and I'm all of this is on the believability of George Knapp, which is he went looking, and the more and more he would bounce against what seems to be the major, major, big, big secret, which is that they got something, and we don't know who's in charge of the thing. It legitimately might be like a construction company. It legitimately might be something that's outside of the government thing altogether. That there is somebody that is holding on to something they found. This is according to them. That's the one big secret. And the second big, big, big secret, which was pointed towards, I don't know if I should even say this, secret information, sources I can't reveal.
This is what they all say.
I think you're just enjoying finally being able to do this.
No, I can say it.
No, you can do it.
I got some inside information as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know people.
Well, don't reveal your sources, but what is it?
Yeah.
Dr. Theodore Seuss.
That's your source.
That's my source. Green eggs and ham is bad. You know why? Because they are fucking spoiled.
Yeah.
It's really repulsing. But
Was it a blue fish that did this?
No.
Or is it a two fish?
No.
It was a three fish.
But the
actually, it's kind of racist to call it a two fish.
Yeah, you fucking piece of shit. How dare you? But it is the fact that whatever it is making us very sick. And that what the people having contact with any form of the quote-unquote phenomena is making people get something not unlike long COVID, getting something not some kind of autoimmune disease that is really hurting people. And they don't know what the hell it is because it's not radiation poisoning. It's something else.
But nothing's happened to Knapp. He's been there a bunch of times.
But Knapp says that he brought back shit to his own house. And he says that's the reason why he'll never go back. He will not go back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's done.
He's done. He says he's done because he said the last time he came back, shit started moving around his house. And then his wife started seeing things. And he said, I got to stop going.
But his house is all spooky shit.
He's not. He's the opposite. He says to me, according to what
he's just an investigator.
Yeah. He's like, this is not his life. He tried to explain that to me. He's just been like, I'd rather be anywhere else. Like, essentially, like, basically, he'd much rather be hanging out with, like, LeBron James. He should have been a sports reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Just for his own life. Just for his own life.
Yeah.
But he just likes a long cigar and a tall glass of scotch.
Yeah. And the Rat Pack.
Yep, he does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can see his point because, you know, Robert Bigelow in an interview that he gave to George Knapp in like 2021, like Robert Bigelow says, and a couple of people have confirmed this, like the shit that people bring back from Skinwalker Ranch. It's, again, sort of like long COVID. There's no set expiration date on it. It's not like you come back, you experience stuff for a week, and then it's done. Some people have been experiencing things for years, years upon years, that it just doesn't stop. And as far as they know, it's going to keep happening for the rest of their lives. So it's just never going to stop for them.
If it's never going to stop, then why not keep going back to try to figure out what the fuck it is to try and stop it?
Well, you got to pay your bills.
Yeah, dude, get more, dude.
And you go back. Nothing going back is stopping it. And like, that's a part of the main issue with all of the research is that we really haven't gotten anywhere, which technically brings us to the secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Live from your grave.
But the craziest thing about that, you say, why don't people go back and try to figure it out, is that a lot of these people that come back with something, when they go to Skinwalker Ranch, when they've gone to Skinwalker Ranch, they experienced nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
They experienced not a single fucking thing. They're like, I don't know what the big deal is. This is just, you know, this is just some place in Utah, and it's only after they go home that they experience very real phenomenon.
That was my problem with all the docs that I watched. It's like, it's just a bunch of people walking around a field.
Yeah. Well, again, as you're seeing more and more with the paranormal world, it's subtle. And that what you're seeing is an actual paranormal investigation, not led by somebody like the Warrens, even though technically it is being sold. It's being sold to us as a mysterious thing. But it sounds like whatever was happening at Skinwalker Ranch, like the way that George Knapp described it, is that by the end of the NIDS run by 2016, activity had all but stopped. Like, mm-hmm. By the time they had gotten to the end of their scientific, like, whatever that round was, they'd, like, no one was seeing jack shit ever. Nothing was happening. Nothing fun, nothing weird. And then what happened was that they gave it a break, which is kind of what we talked about on Side Stories. Remember we talked about how the UK is running out of ghosts?
Yes.
And they were saying this concept, which is interesting, that that ghost hunters are talking about less famous ghosts are not showing up anymore.
Oh, like the ones at Borley Rectory?
Yeah, that they're going and partially...
They finally went to heaven or hell or whatever.
Finally got destroyed by all the fucking electricity in the air.
Yeah, ooh. Something happened or battery ran out. And it does sound like what happened is that people, Skinwalker Ranch got like burnt out on being explored. And it did not want to be fucking investigated anymore. And everything stopped. But then the next guy bought the Skinwalker Ranch.
Like, we essentially don't know who that is.
We do now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we know it. Brandon Fugle.
Yes.
Is his name. Real estate cartoon, speaks in movie references.
Oh, he is such a pain in the ass.
Is he going to build like a hotel there?
No, I mean, he's there for the paranormal.
He really is.
Yeah, he really is there for the paranormal. Like it seems like he likes it because, I mean, this man wants his life to be a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he owns a fucking, you know, endoskeleton from Terminator 2. Like, he owns, like, the fucking T-800. Like, he owns the fucking glasses from Harry Potter.
He specifically drives the Lamborghini that Bruce Wayne drives in The Dark Night Begins. That one that he pulls into the restaurant with the models.
Yeah.
He bought that Lamborghini, the screen used one.
He doesn't drive it on the dirt roads out in Skinwalker, does he?
I mean,
that seems irresponsible.
That's his property, bro. You wouldn't do donuts on Skinwalker Ranch in Batman's Lambo? That's fucking incredible. That's an afternoon, dude.
So, has anything happened to this guy?
Not that we know of.
Well, he said that, no, he's a straight experiencer.
Well, I mean, anything bad happening, I guess what I would say. Yes, he did see a UFO.
Yes,
he did see that he saw like a full silver disc in broad daylight.
Yeah, okay. He's an experiencer and it changed his mind because for a while he had just bought it to have it. So when he found out it was for sale, he flipped out because he's a pop culture whore and he really wanted to get his hands on something that he could fucking tell whole the world he has. Look how cool I am. Look what I have.
Just out of sheer curiosity, how much was it?
I think it was
$4 million. $6 million.
Yeah. It was a lot, but he already owned like a ton of property in Utah. He was a real estate magnate in Utah.
Yeah.
No name.
I know this sounds irresponsible and I'm probably answering my own question as I ask it, but why not make it into like a fucking theme park? like I a think goat, that, and like that's how we're really gonna find out, you know, is well, just start is, packing it with fucking people and seeing if they all go home with cancer.
But I feel like that's a hard way to start. I feel like everyone's gonna be angry about getting ghost cancer because they went to on a roller coaster.
They're paying for it. But they know they sign a waiver. I could get ghost cancer.
He's not wrong.
Actually, everyone who goes on Skinwalker Ranch does have to sign a waiver saying I might get ghost cancer. They do. Every yeah. single person who enters the property has to sign a waiver saying, like, I understand that I may suffer adverse effects from visiting this place.
Yeah.
I do not hold the owners or anyone who goes with me responsible for anything that may happen to me on or off the ranch afterwards. Yeah, man, they're already signing the fucking waivers.
So I don't think we're going to get real statistics until we start putting real numbers in there.
That's what they tried to do with government. But they did have a fair amount of people in there. And this with this fucking TV show, there's people in and out of there all the time.
Yeah, now. There are people in and out all the time now. And so for a while, there was just government guys watching the outside exterior and it was empty. And they would talk about that there was a people would get kicked in and out. And eventually when Fugel bought it, he's like, he was just kind of had it for a while. And it sounded like for a while, at first, he wasn't expecting to do anything with it. And he wanted his name to be secret. He did not want to be identified with the property because he was like, he didn't want to get harassed. He didn't want to think of people ask him about it all the time. You know, he's like, you know, I give you my name. You tell your friends. They tell your other friends. You know, he's calling me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's all
you
the
don't
people
buy
do.
It because you don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but according to him.
But he was also, this whole time, he was also doing the monitoring. You know, he was, he wanted to figure out, like, he kind of took the mantle from Bigelow as far as the investigation goes. So he didn't.
Even though he's just a real estate guy who likes movies.
Yeah. He didn't buy it just to have it. He was continuing. He carried the torch.
Okay. Yeah, he wanted it. He wanted this responsibility. But then 6 months into the ownership, he said that he was in the command center, which was the old homestead for those guys who are like, we're not going to be explaining every single
thing. That's the rundown barn in the middle of the place.
Thank you. And he was seeing some, there were some people there, quote unquote, he's, according to him, visiting dignitaries, which is probably Ted Nugent, Robbie Williams.
Again.
Yeah, again, always. I'm going to say Grimes.
Yeah, Grimes.
I can see Grimes hanging out there.
Yeah, Fred Durst.
Dude, my boy. We could say this now, probably. He was a contact in the desert. We couldn't find him.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I saw him, though.
We did see him once. Yeah.
He looks good.
He looked great.
I like old man Fred Durst. It's awesome.
He's doing real well with it.
He really is.
Yeah.
But then he said that, according to Fugel, that he was at the old homestead.
Or he was on his way back to the homestead.
Yes. And he said, first he looked in his line of sight, he saw an object in the sky. It was a full disc, 40 to 50 feet long. It hovered in broad daylight. And then he said that it just blinked away. It disappeared in a second. And he said that it changed his whole life. And by then, the History Channel came a-calling.
Mm-hmm. By 2018, his ranch manager started getting calls from History Channel producers. They wanted to collaborate on a TV show. Fugel reluctantly agreed.
Reluctantly?
So long as they signed the NDA. Mm. And during their launch, one of the producers asked if he was a believer. He said, I'm not a believer. I'm an experiencer.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. And he said he had three conditions. Nothing could be faked. They had to use his team, his people. They couldn't, History Channel couldn't bring in their own people.
Like what, his like own, his cameraman and
his
shit?
Guy, his researchers.
No, his researchers.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no, his guys.
Like, no, I got a grip.
You gotta see my guy, Joey.
You ain't using another grip but my grip.
No, he's the only deaf sound man in the business. What?
He's great. He's a funny guy.
I said you hired him. What?
No, his researchers, his doctor, you know, his PhD guys, his paranormal guys. And he also had the condition that they not reveal his identity. But the History Channel people smartly said, like, yeah, okay, first 2 points, great. We won't fake anything. We'll use your, I'm sure they went and interviewed the dudes and like, okay, these guys are, they may not be, you know, the Pawn Stars, but they're entertaining enough.
What? Yeah. What? How dare you insult Dragon?
Well, I mean, they're great, but, you know, do they have a Chumley?
No.
They don't have a bumbling.
They don't have a Chumley.
Do they have an old man?
No.
No, they don't.
No, Pawn Stars is by far a better reality show. All right. Yeah. I understand there's more paranormal activity that happens in Pawn Stars and has happened in all of Search for Skinwalker Ranch, but still I don't begrudge it.
No. Yeah. I don't begrudge it either. But on the third point, they're like, no, you gotta be a character. We have to know who owns this place. If you want to take this, but
if you want to be on TV, you got to be on the TV.
Yeah. If you want people to take this investigation seriously, like we can't just have some unnamed guy owning the ranch.
Yeah, because in the Corbell documentary, they shot him like he was Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I like that. I miss that. I wish that he did more of that. I wish he understood how much more fun that is. Like, if you walked around with a fucking, like, mask on, that's so much more fun.
Yeah. It would be, he's just petting an alien.
So, Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, basically, this guy and all of his buddies, or like former colleagues, like Dragon. Bryant Dragon Arnold, which Dragon doesn't like the name Dragon.
I will say, at first, I was laughing, but now I understand that it was a joke.
Was it just because he had like too much booze on his breath?
No, it was because there was a guy. So according to lore, before they took over for the show, there was security officers often on the Skinwalker Ranch that were hired by Robert Bigelow. And there was one guy that was a fucking asshole that they called the Dragon that used to threaten people with like shooting them in the head and shit. And then eventually enough people asked this dude, who was the fake head of security because it was Fugle's buddy, to come do it. And they kept asking him, is he the Dragon of old? And they just started ironically calling him Dragon, and then it stuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they put a picture. Someone was like, yeah, here's Dragon. Hey, Dragon, you fucking Dragon. You're Dragon now. Fuck you. You're Dragon.
Fuck you. You're Dragon.
Like, I don't like being Dragon. Fuck you. You're Dragon.
Yeah. He's angry that he's Dragon.
Yeah. And after Fugle brought the property, someone visited and met this guy and asked, like, oh, so you're Dragon.
You're
huh?
Dragon. Huh?
And he's like, no, I'm not. But they're like, fuck you. You're Dragon now.
Here's what I think. Barbecue restaurant. You call it the mutilated cow.
This is not that man.
Ooh, Dragon's mutilated cow.
Yeah, yeah. That's a barbecue restaurant.
I mean, well, Dragon's mutilated cow is at the very least a dry rub.
Well, honestly, just call it cattle mutilations. That's what I eat fucking once a week now. I'm down. I'm down on the red meat.
Nice. Yeah, but although Dragon, he does carry a 12-gauge shotgun with him everywhere he goes.
Everywhere he goes, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, you're out in the middle of nowhere. It's dire wolves.
Yeah. Yeah, then you get the ranch manager, Jim Morse. Jim was like Fugle's like first big developer client, like way, way, way back in the day. And of course, like, you know, Jim just seemed like, okay, this is the right guy for the job.
Yes.
You know, he's the only one of the cast to claim that he's seen an actual skinwalker on the ranch.
Okay.
Then you got Eric Bard. He's the principal investigator, the normal guy.
He's fine. You know, I like
he's a scientist.
Have you watched any of the show?
I don't think I watched. There's so many shows. I don't think I watched the right one.
I find it so interesting. There are two now. There are two shows. But it is interesting.
I watched the one that was on Netflix that only has season two.
Yes, that's all you need. You're fine.
I think you watched the wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is the History Channel.
But I watched the doc.
Yeah, the doc is the best one.
The doc's the best one.
That's the best one to watch.
And this show, it's like, they try. They really, really try.
They really do.
I couldn't get far into the Netflix show.
They got a guy named Dr. Travis.
Yeah, Dr. Travis is technically, he's the handsome skeptic.
Yeah.
But he's now a believer.
He was in a show from 2011 to 2012 called Rocket City Rednecks.
Yeah,
cool. And that was about him, his father, his brother-in-law, his best friend, and his nephew setting off rockets.
Yeah, he's got a star power. He's got good hair.
Blowing up moonshine distillery.
Basically. But he's got good hair. He looks good.
Well, they could tell the history of rocketry. Like, the reason why we built this rocket, this goes back to the V2. Oh, wait, we can't talk about the V2. Never mind. Speaking of the V2, his father did build satellites at Wiley Laboratories under Wernher von Braun.
Hey, no one comes out clean.
So he probably did know quite a bit about the V2. But going back to skinwalkers at the Pentagon, Travis Taylor, he was the guy, maybe we can wrap up on this, he also knew the mysterious Axelrod.
Yeah, Axelrod. Now, he sings October Rain.
Yay! No, how dare you? He's an important man. I'm truly one of my single favorite...
February snow!
I'm just sick of listening to my uncle do these horrible GNR parodies. This is one of my single favorite images from the Skinwalker Ranch book.
I love this. I love this idea. So according to George Knapp, now George Knapp, he does a good job of always being like, hey, I hear a lot of ridiculous things. I just report the shit. The first thing that him and Colin Kelleher got into a lot of trouble for, this is true, when they were talking from Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, is the dino beavers. Beavers the size of dinosaurs that according to Colm Kelleher he saw. And so that was one thing he got a lot of shit for. But one of the other things that he got shit for was this story, which I love, which is he talked to a guy who was a federal employee with Axelrod, a man by the name of Axelrod.
Went by the name of Axelrod. His name wasn't Axelrod.
Now, according to her, so during the Bigelow era, they experienced phenomena inside of their home after they left, witnessed by his wife as well. She witnessed what could only be described as a wolf standing on its hind legs in their backyard, leaning against a tree with its paws crossed across its chest.
Like smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. It's
like, got hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Like it's a fucking 1950s greaser.
One of my favorites.
Fuck
off. Yeah. Oh, look at this broad over here. Oh. I lost the bones, bitch.
Dude, but they talk about, but Axelrod is dropped by several different things. Axelrod is a guy, but it's just a part of the mystery here that we don't know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah, Dr. Travis, he said he's made experiments with scientific instruments in Axelrod's house. And this is actually interesting, is that there have been simultaneous events within a microsecond of each other taking place in Axelrod's house, Dr. Travis's house, and a house on Skinwalker Ranch.
Okay.
And many people whom Dr. Travis knows have had blue orbs and other things in their home. And a neighbor of Axelrod, that was the guy who developed a very dangerous form of cancer right afterwards. The guy was just over at Axelrod's house. The blue orb flew through him and all of a sudden, fuck, I got cancer.
It seems like it also attacks women. Like, it does. Like the wives back home.
It attacks everyone.
Yeah, it just makes sure that you shouldn't be in love if you like UFOs.
Yeah. It attacks wives. It attacks children. It attacks anybody that's in the house, really.
So what does Natalie say about you trying to go to Skinwalker Ranch?
She'd love it.
She loves it.
Oh, yeah. She wants to go.
She wants to go.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no. We want to go.
All right.
Oh, no. We ain't afraid of no UFOs. I ain't afraid of no ghost cancer.
Yeah.
I'm getting in there now. I'm going to wear a fucking lead vest.
I don't think that's going to help.
Why not?
It's not an X-ray machine.
We should go in. Lead vests. Lead hat. Right? Go in. Protect ourselves against vibes.
I don't think it's going to work, man.
Could be magnets.
Yeah, could be magnets.
No,
I'm not.
They're saying there's natural magnet deposit. That's one of the big things in the TV show that they're kind of looking for. And the one also thing that does happen in the TV show that they keep trying to do is that things happen to people who dig on the land.
Yeah.
So they have the one guy that they send out to go dig. And then bad shit happens to him all the time.
There's magnets in the ground. Every time I throw a magnet in the air, it goes right back to the ground.
Yeah, it's something else.
Yeah, there's many guys. Yeah, Thomas Winterton. He's the guy who keeps digging, and he keeps having accidents. And, like, he's got, like, this thing on his head. He's, like, got this fluid that keeps fucking, like, building up at a bump on his head. He keeps getting a drain. Anytime he talks about digging, the fluid starts building up again. Like, it's like Skinwalker Ranch. It's one of the weirdest places on Earth.
It's still weird. It really is.
It's just weird. It's a weird place where weird shit happens. And that's the most update we can possibly do.
The only thing I'll understand.
The Utah Triangle.
Yeah. But it is interesting. It is. But it is, for me, it is so
more
well
of a bowl
covered.
Than a triangle.
It's
a
basin. It's a basin. But it's like, it's amazing to think that it's gotten so much coverage. This was extremely a secret, untrodden place for thousands of years. And now it's everywhere. Millions of people know about Skinwalker Ranch and the activity that happens in Skinwalker Ranch. And still we know nothing. And I think it's one thing that it shows is that we're interested and people want it to be real. They want it to be real. And it's hard to pin down. And I think that's one of the main, what you were talking about is that it's hard because you're watching all this stuff. You want something to come out of it, but it's never going to give it to you.
Yeah.
It's never going to ever, ever, ever give it to you. It doesn't want you to have it.
It seems like there's nothing there.
I don't know. I know that it makes total sense to say that there's nothing there, but it's more like it doesn't want you to have it. Mm. Whatever is there, it doesn't want you to have it, and it's not yours to have.
Really? Stop putting cows there.
No, man. They fucking, that's their dinner.
I think we just don't know how to record it.
We have no idea.
I think there's absolutely something there. But,
and people are probably yelling at us and saying that we're dumb or whatever already. Maybe. But I still find...
I'm not going to use a camera to take a picture of an atom. You know? But yeah. It's like it's not the right tool.
You know, because like, the camera's made out of atoms. So.
There you go.
But that's the thing is that we can use a, you know, like I'm not going to take a camera to take a picture of bacteria, but I can use a microscope to take a picture of bacteria. And we had the abilities to take pictures of people long before we had the abilities to take pictures of bacteria. And I think we're just in that same, we're in that same technology, like gap. Off weird gap.
It's a technology.
So we're in a we need to be developing better cameras or different cameras.
But we something. Can't do yeah. that unless we spend the money to go do it, which requires us to waste $22 million of tax money in order to go and try to make something that might record something that would let them get more money.
Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have fun.
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot going on here. But yes, yeah. So
I just believe goddamn George Knapp.
Yeah. So
I believe him. And the way he talked about it, I believe him. I believe that he doesn't want to go back. I believe that he said that what he was coming up against was far, far bigger than when he is allowed to talk about, and that he also has private information that he can't share, but it's the kind of stuff that keeps his hair white, according to him.
You're telling me his hair can grow back to color?
That's enough. That's it.
Thanks so much for listening to Last Update on the Left, everybody. Go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft to see video episodes of our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at LP on the Left and on TikTok. Go see all of our shows that we do streaming with at twitch.tv/LPNTV. And don't forget to go check out all of our live dates at lastpodcastontheleft.com. We're doing some East Coast shows coming up real soon. We're going to be going over to D.C., New York City, and we're going to be going to London and Reykjavik, in addition to Australia later on in the year. All those dates are at lastpodcastontheleft.com. And go and see if your city's there. Go. Don't wait. Don't wait until we're in town at the airport.
Yeah. The like, next, oh, the, what the are day, you doing here?
Yeah, the day after the show.
You can't. Why are you in Seattle?
Oh, man. What are you doing in Seattle?
We're trying to tell you. We're trying to tell you. You got to come out to the show. It's a good show.
It's a good show.
Yeah. It's a good show.
But just go check and see if maybe your city, we're going to be coming to it or near it. We're coming to Boston.
Yep. Yeah. Also, Philadelphia and Chicago Side Stories is coming.
So yeah, it's going to be Philly. Out. Basically sold out, but we're going to be there. Buy the ticket to Chicago. We're going to be there.
Nice.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Hail Satan.
Okay.
Hail Nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.